Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. The Taliban now control Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul, where the U.S. military has officially ended 20 years of war in Afghanistan. The last American soldier to board an evacuation flight out of the Afghan capital was Major General Chris Donahue, the commander of the 82nd Airborne Division. The commander of U.S. Central Command says the U.S. military did not get everybody out of Afghanistan that it hoped to. As NPR's Giles Snyder reports, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says up to 200 Americans who wanted to leave remain in that country, along with thousands of Afghans.
Secretary Blinken spoke shortly after the Pentagon announced the completion of the U.S. military withdrawal.
There is no deadline on our work to help any remaining American citizens who decide they want to leave to do so, along with the many Afghans who have stood by us over these many years and want to leave and have been unable to do so.
Aside from the Americans who remain in Afghanistan, thousands of at-risk Afghans were left behind. Blinken said the world will hold the Taliban to their commitment to allow safe passage, and that the U.S. is pressing ahead with plans to help people leave through charter flights or over land. But he said the U.S. has no illusions that it will be easy or rapid. Giles Snyder, NPR News.
Some Republican members of Congress have called on President Biden to resign for his handling of the U.S. military's withdrawal from Afghanistan. Officials say it could take weeks for power to be fully restored in Louisiana and Mississippi following Hurricane Ida. The Category 4 storm knocked out power to more than a million homes and businesses in the two states. At least two people were killed. Authorities expect that number to climb as search and rescue teams reach more areas hit by wind damage and flooding. Andrew Schneider with Houston Public Media says Texas plans to shelter some Louisiana residents who've been displaced by Ida.
The American Red Cross has already set up two shelters in southeast Texas and is looking to set up more. Jennifer Sparks is the spokeswoman for the organization's Texas Gulf Coast region.
We know simply that with the power outages, this is going to be at least several weeks of immediate response, which means that our recovery phase of a disaster operation is going to last for potentially several months, potentially even years.
Sparks says the Red Cross is badly stretched because of the multiple disasters it's dealing with across the country. She says the organization needs volunteers and donations. I'm Andrew Schneider in Houston.
It's expected to take weeks for oil refineries and drilling platforms in the Gulf of Mexico to return to full operations. The hurricane forced offshore oil and gas pipelines to be shut down. Gasoline prices are expected to rise. This is NPR News from Washington. South Lake Tahoe is under a mandatory evacuation order as the Caldor Fire continues to spread in the mountains of Northern California. Nearby communities across the Nevada state line are being advised to prepare to evacuate. A steady stream of vehicles could be seen heading away from the region yesterday. Thousands of firefighters have been trying to slow the spread of that fire. CAL FIRE says it's been expanding rapidly. That fire grew 7 miles in one direction and more than 8 miles in another in a matter of hours. The billionaire founder of a blood testing startup company that collapsed 3 years ago is going on trial today in California. Federal prosecutors allege Elizabeth Holmes defrauded investors and patients as the head of Theranos. NPR's Bobby Allen says if convicted, Holmes could face 20 years in prison.
Elizabeth Holmes became the world's youngest self-made female billionaire by promising that Theranos would revolutionize healthcare. That never came to pass. The company imploded after investigations exposed the company's false promises. Some $600 billion in investor money was lost, and patients who say they were misled remain angry. Prosecutors have filed wire fraud charges against Holmes, alleging she knowingly scammed people out of money and duped patients. Holmes' legal team says she was physically and emotionally abused by her ex-boyfriend, a former top executive at Theranos, and that clouded her judgment. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Montana State University says a $101 million donation it received is the largest to a university nursing program in the country's history. I'm Dave Mattingly in Washington.